for my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is, life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Bad feeling about this.
Welcome to episode 309 of Blue Harvest. I'm your host, Halls Burkhart.
And I'm your host, Will Witten.
How have you been, buddy? How's it been going?
I've been all right. I've been taking care of sick kids.
Oh, and
I think they finally got me. I think my throat's starting to get a little sore from a little bit of sinus drainage. And if it stops there, I'll be incredibly grateful. But if it divulges into the full what they've had, you're looking at a man on the precipice.
Oh, no, buddy. That's
it's not RSV. It's not COVID. It's not flu. You know, they've been tested, But damn, dude.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
It's all right.
Man. Okay. So I got a quick story to tell you, right?
Yeah.
So last night, I wrap up work early for a Wednesday night. And by early, I mean about 11:45 at night, right?
Yeah.
And I'm getting ready for bed. And I'm brushing my teeth. I'm sitting at the sink brushing my teeth. And yeah. I hear a commotion outside.
Uh-oh.
And it sounds like it's coming from our neighbors, where Barbara used to live, that general direction. And it just sounds like some shouting and then a lady screaming.
Oh, my goodness.
So first thing I do is I look down at my phone, take note of the time. It's 10 after midnight, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, uh-oh, what the fuck is this? So, finish brushing my teeth. Go and look out in the front yard, like out the front door. Don't see anything going on. Open the door, stick my head out, and listen. And right after that, three shady-looking dudes come walking down the street holding, like, reusable shopping bags, like those type of bags.
Yeah.
And they're not running, but they're walking very swiftly.
They're speed walking.
Yeah, speed walking. One of them sees me and turns around to the other two and says something. I can't really hear it.
Bro, we got a looker. Got eyes on us.
And they keep going. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck is going on? So I'm sitting there thinking, like, should I call the cops? I heard a lady screaming. And right as I'm about to call the cops, here come three cop cars down our street. No lights on. They come, and then for like 10 minutes, they talk to two ladies from a house across the street who I didn't even realize were standing outside waiting on the cops.
Right.
Then one of the cop cars stays with the ladies, and the other two go further down our street. And I'm invested at this point. It's almost 12:30 in the morning.
Way.
I got to see what's going on.
You're smoking a cigarette, sitting on the front porch. what's up?
Yeah. And what's funny is friend of the podcast, Aaron Boyd, messages me. And I'm like, dude, something crazy is going on right now. And so, like, I'm taking pictures of the cop cars and sending them to him and stuff. And I don't know. As of right now, I still don't know what's going on or what happened. I know the cops came back. The other two cop cars came back. They talked to the two ladies, and then they left, and the ladies went back inside. So I went to bed. And I checked on, like, Nextdoor, you know, the Nextdoor app.
Yeah.
This morning, nobody mentioned it. And all day.
Is that what your neighbors use?
Yeah.
Seems like all the neighbors around here use Facebook.
No, Nextdoor is pretty popping in our area.
That's good.
But what I have noticed is all day since that happened, cop cars have been slow creeping through our neighborhood.
Ooh,
slow creeping.
Somebody, it sounds like somebody tried to lose the cops on your street or the street over.
I don't know. But like literally
last seen on your street.
It was like maybe 15 minutes ago that I saw one. Was the last time I saw one. It's been going on all day. So I got in touch with our buddy Jeff. Our buddy Jeff has a friend who works in law enforcement that lives on our street.
Right.
He's the guy that came over. He wasn't on the show for the Last Jedi reaction, but he was in the background. He came over after Last Jedi that time. You remember?
He was a cool guy, yeah.
Yeah. So I hit up Jeff and had him. He's going to ask that dude and see if he knows what was going on. But I don't know, man. All I know is it's dead ass, you know, that after midnight quiet in the neighborhood, all you can hear is fucking cicadas and traffic on the highway behind her house. And I hear a lady scream. Whew, you better bet the Highlander sword came off the shelf.
Then it's Nightmare on Elm Street music starts playing in the background instantly.
I heard some kids going, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
You just have a heart attack. And you're like, that's all I need.
And then what's funny is I get in bed, right? And I fall asleep. And I wake up a couple hours later because Dharma wakes Jesse up. She wants to go outside. And Jesse gets back in bed. And I was like, hey, some crazy shit went down. And she doesn't say anything to me. And I'm like, that's weird. And I was like, yeah, there were cops, and I heard a lady scream, and she still doesn't respond. And I'm like, hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? And she goes, oh, I thought you were just talking in your sleep. No, some shit really went down. So I'll be interested to see what that was all about.
She said, that was so crazy, I thought you was asleep.
Yeah. So before we get into the Star Wars discussion this week, which we got some cool stuff to talk about. I have some business to give you guys. First, and most importantly, you guys should check out episode 90 of the Rogue Rebels podcast. I was a guest with our buddy Sal Perales talking about High Republic comics.
Nice.
And I was also a guest on episode 168 of the Scruffy Looking Podcasters podcast, episode 168. And it was a real good time. I learned a nice new piece of slang. Will, you want me to drop this on you? This is a piece of slang from England, a piece of English slang. Do you know what a chopper is in English slang?
Not in English slang.
And if someone were to say, if you were in England and someone were to say, hey, man, you got a chopper, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what that would be referring to?
I don't. In American slang, I would say it's an automatic weapon.
No. In England, a chopper is a massive ding-dong.
Okay.
So basically the exact opposite of Batman, according to you.
Hey, now, Batman had it going on. I'm just saying.
Hey, no. Now you are changing your tune from when you famously talked about Batman's ding-dong.
I mean, it was like... I said good for Batman. Like, that's what I said. And I just wasn't blown away. I wasn't like, Jesus, horse
dick. Look at
dick,
that chopper.
Man. Yeah.
I'll be appearing. It'll probably be coming out around the time this episode comes out. But I'm also making a guest appearance on a podcast I've really, really wanted to be on for a while now. And because of the time zone they record in, I got to get up. I'm recording at 7 a.m. in the morning. I'm having breakfast with three dudes of the geek persuasion. And that's all I'll say.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to it. So besides that, follow us on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Blue Harvest Pod. If you really enjoy the show and you want to support us for as little as $3 a month, you can on our Patreon, patreon.com/blueharvestpodcast. Sign up and get access to all our bonus shows. Oh No, It's Hall Solo, Cooking with Will, Jaws, Masters of Harvest, Kasi, Year by Podcast, Star Wars Year by Podcast, Podula Rasa, Blue Harvest Adventures, My Immediate Bad Batch, and Mandalorian Season 2 Reactions, and a whole lot more. And once again, that's patreon.com/blueharvestpodcast. And a super big shout out to all our patrons. You guys are the best. So, buddy.
Yes.
You know how a couple weeks ago, when E3 was going on, I mentioned, like, there wasn't really anything Star Wars related coming out of E3, but specifically, EA was doing their own event in July, July 22nd, to be specific, and that maybe we would hear some Star Wars video game news there. Well, no. No, we are not. In fact, EA came out today and said that there will be no Star Wars games appearing at EA Play next week, and that they will see us next year to share their quote-unquote vision for Star Wars. So,
next year is in 2022.
Yes. So, to me...
So, is that no 2021 release?
Yeah, because if you were going to be releasing a Star Wars game, if EA was going to be releasing a high-profile Star Wars game, you know, in the fall/winter of this year, you would announce that by now. You would announce that, you know. the promotion for all the big end-of-the-year games has already started. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And how many years has EA had this license?
2013, I believe, is when they first got it. And, you know,
it's seven, eight.
2023 is the last year that the exclusive license is active. After 2023. Okay. That's why I always say, you know, like the Ubisoft game that was announced and things like that, we won't see until after 2023 at the earliest because of that exclusive license. If I had to guess, next year the big EA announcement will be Jedi Fallen Order 2 or whatever that ends up being called, because we know it's in the works, that Respawn is working on that game, and that'll be, you know, roughly 3 years since the first one came out, which is, you know, pretty on par for a sequel follow-up game, unless they super rush it and put it out too early like The Force Unleashed 2. You don't want that.
Yeah, you know you don't.
So while we're not, it looks like we're not getting a big high-profile Star Wars game this year, we got that Star Wars Hunters game they announced earlier this year, but there hasn't been any information on that since. It's been kind of quiet, and we still haven't seen any actual gameplay footage. So I don't know what's going on with that, but like I said, I think at the very least they'll announce and release Jedi Fallen Order 2 next year, and then we'll see where it goes after that, you know. Once again, the license runs up at some point in 2023. So after that, hopefully we can start seeing these Star Wars games come out a little more regularly.
I got to say, just in general, but thus is the state of games, the focus tends to be more on making money quickly than presenting like a masterpiece of art, of design art. Like, so many games recently have fallen prey to this, and I don't necessarily think Star Wars has to a degree, but that's what I fear. I fear a company's willingness to cash in on a franchise's name would limit its ability to produce a quality, take the time to focus on the art and produce a quality game. And not that everything we've gotten so far has been great. I'm just afraid of that. Does that make sense?
I can totally see I can totally understand the fear when it comes to because
when the focus is on profit and not the art, I fear that the art suffers. Basically,
well, boiling it down. That's the game industry. buddy.
And I know there's a fine line to walk because you need your art to make money. Like that, I know that.
Now, the thing is, like, it's especially difficult when it comes to licensed games because, you know, you're paying a lot of money to you to have access to this property, right? In this instance, the Star Wars property. So already you've got quite a bit of money invested before you've even started on the game, right?
You had to write a big check just to be able to use this property.
Right. So, yeah. You know, it's interesting. I wouldn't necessarily say that I agree with the sentiment that it's been happening a lot in games recently. I think we are...
Anthem specifically came to mind when I was talking about that.
Yeah. I mean, that fucking breaks my heart because, you know, I love BioWare.
It was a rush, you know, a rush for profit. Mass Effect Andromeda. All these things. A rush to make the money when you should have had time to hone your art.
Well, in both of those cases, both Anthem and Mass Effect, I feel it's hard to say either of those were rushed, given how long they were in development. The problem you had was mismanagement and not... and not focusing and not having a clear goal in mind with the game you're producing. Like, both of those games, Anthem and Mass Effect Andromeda, went through crazy behind-the-scenes drama as far as, like, what they initially set out to do, you know, the limits that they placed on themselves or went to try to do things that were beyond their ability, given the technology and the time and stuff. So I think both of those are, unfortunately, and it pains me to say this, are BioWare fucking up the development of those games. That's why it's been nice to see the Mass Effect Legendary Edition get so much praise. It feels like a much needed win for BioWare. So hopefully
the property's cap. Yeah.
Hopefully what happens, you know, is they get I think the next one that they'll have out will be the next Dragon Age. Hopefully that comes out and it's really well received. And then after that will be the new Mass Effect game. And boy, howdy, do I hope they do well with that. Because if they don't, that's probably the nail in the coffin for Mass Effect, right?
I mean, they put it on the shelf. Never the nail in the coffin, but they might shelf it for a minute.
Yeah, but buddy, I don't know how many minutes I got left. So I need these Mass Effect games to do well so I can get more of them while I'm still breathing. But yeah, you know, there's definitely been some high-profile cases of video game developers or publishers fucking up. Cyberpunk. Is a big... And now, that's one that I fully feel like I agree with you on, that it was...
You should have taken your time to hone the art. There was the rush to make the profit.
The investors and all the money people really pushed and to have that game out last year, when it probably, in all honesty, probably should have been held off as a next gen only game and maybe even released delayed by like a year or a few months even. But you know,
I wonder if they put out a next gen version that's like what it should have been the whole all along.
Oh no, there is no wonder. They absolutely are.
Oh yeah.
They announced before the game even came out that there would be a next gen upgrade patch for not only Cyberpunk but also The Witcher 3.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I loved The Witcher 3. That was a great game.
Yep. That's what makes Cyberpunk's fuck up feel so messed up, is they put out a goddamn masterpiece for their game before and then it was rough. And I spent a lot of time playing it, so I feel like I'm at least somewhat qualified to speak on it.
That's really sad.
So yeah, no Star Wars game this year. No announcement or trailers. But at least we have that to look forward to next year. I'm really excited for Jedi Fallen Order 2. I honestly would have thought it would have come out this year. But game development in general has been so upended by the pandemic and shit. That's why you're seeing so many games delayed. That's why you're seeing, honestly, that's why you're seeing a lot of these games come out with issues that need to be patched and fixed up, you know, more than normal, it seems like. A lot of it goes back to COVID. So it sucks. But hopefully it'll all get straightened out. And I would rather them put it out next year and put out a solid product than, you know, we get it this year and we're like, oh, it's all fucked up. It's the Force Unleashed 2 all over again.
Right.
So the other thing that we talked about last week that we were very excited for is Star Wars Visions, the anime anthology series that's coming out September 22nd. And we got a little more news on that today because of a press conference that they had in Japan about the series.
Right.
And there's some interesting details. Now, the main thing, once again, that you want to keep in mind is that none of these stories are necessarily canon, right? Right. So, on one hand, these story ideas that they're, or the stories that they're going to be telling sound super interesting, but also, you know, don't take it too seriously. Don't get too worried or caught up about the canon of it all. But they announced, they had each of the, like, the studios sort of present what their individual stories were about.
Yeah.
And first up, we have Studio Trigger. Studio Trigger is doing two separate shorts, The Elder and The Twins. Studio Trigger, known for Kill la Kill, Little Witch Academy, Promare, bunch of other anime series.
Okay.
And they have those two series set. The first one, The Elder, is set sometime between before episode one. The Elder is the story about the Master and the Padawan who are out on some sort of adventure, and they come across that Sith, the old-looking Sith guy, right?
Right, right.
And then The Twins is a story set after the events of episode 9.
Okay.
So our story is not directly connected to any of the characters from the films, but it explores the idea of the Jedi Knights and the Master and Padawan dynamic in older settings. That's about The Elder. And then for The Twins is set after episode 9, after the Empire has been vanquished by the Resistance. The remnants of the Imperial Army have raised a pair of twins on the dark side of the Force, and the story goes from there. Imashi referenced the twins searching for a quote-unquote new hope, suggesting some thematic references to the other story about a couple of Force-sensitive twins.
Twins.
So, weirdly enough, our first episode, not post-episode 9 content, is going to be coming from
anime.
Yeah, Star Wars Visions, told in anime form. And the cool thing is, this could be set... He doesn't say it's set right after. This could be hundreds of years after episode 9. And It probably won't be specified. And honestly, it doesn't matter because, once again, this stuff isn't canon necessarily. Just sit back and fucking take it in and enjoy it.
Right, right, right. You don't have to worry about that too much. You would think it can't be too long because the remnants of the Empire. That's suggesting that the Empire is going to stick around for a minute afterward.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not inconceivable to think that there would be some holdouts that, you know, go off into some far-flung.
Man, they'd be holding out.
Long enough to have a couple kids raise up a couple kids. Now, the one that is quickly becoming, there's two, honestly, that are really my most anticipated. The Duel, which is the one that the Star Wars Ronin novel is spinning off of.
Yeah.
And then The Ninth Jedi, which is done by Production IG. Production IG, once again, responsible for Ghost in the Shell, the animated interlude in the first Kill Bill, and all kinds of other stuff. This is what director Kenji Kamiyawa said, that his episode, The Ninth Jedi, will also be set after episode 9. I wondered, after episode 9, has the galaxy settled into peace? We all love stories of the Jedi and lightsabers, but what became of the Jedi Knights after the movie series. My story is about that. When I first saw Star Wars, I was fascinated by the story of this kid, Luke Skywalker, who came from nothing and went on a huge adventure. And for me, that is the root of Star Wars' charm. So I wanted to depict a galactic-level adventure with a different character. So,
yeah,
that sounds pretty fucking cool to me.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, given some of the key art or the concept art that we've seen from that one specifically, the Ninth Jedi is really becoming my most looked forward to. Once again, this sounds like this could potentially be set well after 9, right?
Yeah, that would be cool.
So, you know, presumably after Rey helps rebuild the Jedi in some form and fashion, right?
Right.
So, can't wait. And I just thought that was interesting. I thought that it was interesting that even though they're not necessarily canon, we're getting some post-episode 9 stories, and where we're getting them is in anime form. It's pretty exciting. Would never have guessed that, though. That would never have been my prediction of where we would see our first post-episode 9 stories.
Yeah, me neither.
So, did you watch The Bad Batch this week?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
It was good. I thought it was good. To me, it was a little complicated, and I watched it twice, and then after I watched it twice, I was like, you know what, I caught it all the first time. I guess I was just worried that I missed something. There was a lot going on. Palace intrigue, some political setting up, some diabolical machinations by the Empire.
Yeah. So,
a good look at Ryloth and the Twi'leks' home planet, right?
Yeah, it was a really cool sequel to the Ryloth stuff we got in Clone Wars. Once again, the show is acting as a pretty nice, effective bridge in between Clone Wars and Rebels. You know,
right?
Which I didn't. I thought it would be sort of a sequel to Clone Wars in a lot of ways, but I didn't imagine there would be so many Rebels connections.
Now, I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Being the Star Wars beard of knowledge.
Oh, boy. Get ready to be let down. Let's do this.
Oh. Is Ryloth the only planet that's like a Twi'lek home planet?
I don't know, but it's their main home planet. It's their main, at least. I don't know whether there's other predominantly Twi'lek.
The blue fat
Orn Freeta. Senator?
Orn Freeta. Is he in the movie supporting Palpatine?
Yes.
Okay. That's him right at the main little cabinet level.
Yeah, he's in the prequels. I'll say this. the Bad Batch, if you are a weirder, lesser known side character in the prequels, watch out.
Look out.
Your days are numbered.
You may get iced.
Yeah. You may not survive.
Bro, that's cold blooded. That is cold blooded how they handled that dude.
Man.
They said, I want to control this planet. I'm going to make it look like their hero shot their senator.
So, yeah, I thought it was really cool and really interesting to have a show, you know, called The Bad Batch. And I don't mean this in a bad way at all. I actually mean this in a really good way. To have a show called The Bad Batch and then have a whole episode where they show up for like 3 minutes tops, right? Like the Bad Batch themselves are not in this episode very much. I'm sure they will be showing up next episode to help out after all the shit goes down at the end of this one. But I thought that was really surprising. On my first watch, that was kind of like, I don't want to say distracting, but it was definitely something in my head the whole time being like,
where's the Bad Batch?
Yeah, when's the Bad Batch going to show up? This Hera intro is going pretty long.
And one thing I will notice is that apparently the Twi'lek are French, or they have like a French accent.
Uh-huh.
Like that Hera loses at some point before her Rebels days.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's kind of that idea of like moving away from your home country.
Yeah, speaking another language, you adopt another accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting because it's very obviously a French.
Yeah.
To me, like it is.
And that's how they were depicted in the Clone Wars, but it was surprising to have Hera show up and have that accent because, you know, Vanessa Marshall was her voice actress in Rebels, right?
Right.
And she did not use a French accent for Hera. So I did think, and I thought it was actually kind of neat, right? Because
it's cool, yeah. The guilt. Oh, man. Like, I can't imagine. You know, as she's the second time I watched it, I was thinking about this, like as she's speeding away, Chopper speeding her away, you know, she's thinking, man, I got my parents arrested, you know, my parents came to save me for running guns.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting to see Cham like being willing to give the Empire a chance at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because
the peace is what he had been fighting for, right?
Right, like, and that's the Cham that you were presented later in the timeline in the Lords of the Sith and in Rebels and stuff, he is definitely against the Empire.
Right.
So it was I did like that idea of like, look, he's tired of fighting. He realizes that his people, the rest of Ryloth, are tired from all the fighting and from the war, then so like, yeah, let's give this Empire thing a chance. And it doesn't go well. Right off the bat, it doesn't go well.
No.
But yeah, I really enjoyed you know, the focus on Hera. I thought that was really cool. I liked that this seemed like a solid beginning of a two-parter episode. At least that's what I'm assuming. It would only make sense.
Yeah, it's a setup.
You know, I found the scenes with the Bad Batch when they show up with the guns to do the deal with Hera's uncle, and Hera and Omega have their little bonding moment.
Yes.
Oh, I loved that. I thought that was
great. I love that. Young Hera and baby sister Boba Fett are hanging out. Baby Fett.
Yeah, and I like how cool she thinks Omega is, because Omega gets to live on a starship and has her own room and stuff. And I love how proud Omega was to show off her room to Hera. Like, that's like, they kind of nailed that aspect of two kids hanging out, you know?
Right.
So
getting to know each other real quick while their dads do business.
Yeah. Being like, oh, come check out my space bedroom. Isn't this shit cool? I live on a ship.
I wish I could live on a ship.
And I bring it up a lot, but the animation is just fucking top notch now. There are some scenes in this episode that if you were to pause it and screenshot it at the right time, I think you could pass it off as live action.
Oh,
specifically,
really?
You know, like some of the ship scenes and stuff, like when the Bad Batch's ship shows up on that moon and things. Like, obviously, for the most part, if you're going to be showing off the characters, you're not going to fool anybody that is live action.
Right.
But some of the environmental work, the lighting and stuff, so good. So, so good. But, yeah, I'm still really digging the Bad Batch. It's been nice. I, like, when I sit down and think of the series that we've gotten so far, and at this point, we've seen most of it, you know? We don't have that many episodes. What was that? Episode 11 or 12? I can't remember.
11. Yeah. 11 episodes.
Yeah, so we have 4 or 5 left, give or take. So we've
Crosshair's
seen...
got it coming, bro.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen this season, but he's got it coming. That little scar where he burned himself, basically, is not enough. He's got it coming.
See, I agree with you 100%. Like, I want...
I know the Crosshair redemption, like, is possible, but you got to want it. Like, he's got to want to have the chip removed, right? Like,
I just... You know. I hate him so much, Will.
He's done so much bad
stuff. He's such a bastard.
This is the same argument I had about Kylo Ren. He can't live, right? Like, you can't ice your dad.
That fucking toothpick, man. That fucking toothpick. That's his character.
He's
the toothpick.
He has one of his, you know how stormtroopers have like the compartmented belts with the pouches,
yeah.
basically?
Yeah.
One of those pouches, if not all of them, are toothpicks.
It's just, like, it's just a toothpick dispenser, like you see at a restaurant sitting on the counter where you go to pay your check.
He said, I don't need the ammo. I keep the toothpicks.
Bah. Yeah, man. I don't want to say I'm not a fan of Crosshair as a villain, and character design wise and all that, I am a fan. But of Crosshair as a person, Crosshair, I don't like him.
I have to go the opposite way. As far as his design, character design goes, it seems too on the nose. It's a little campy, right? Like, but I like him as a villain. He's truly evil. He embraces his evilness and he revels in it. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
He's doing what he is for good.
I like him as a villain.
He's a good villain.
But, like, I don't like him.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. And you just hate the character. Yeah.
I totally what you're saying about him being on the nose. But, buddy, every motherfucker on the Bad Batch is on the nose.
I know.
Like, they're all super on the nose. I mean, okay, we got a guy. Like, if I told you, right? All right. Like, close your eyes. If we were going to play a game of D&D, and me, Jesse, Steve, you know, we all sat down with our characters and we're like, we want to present our characters to you. And I said to you, all right, I'm playing a character named Wrecker. You would immediately.
Like, the tank.
Right.
And shit, Rick and
somebody
house.
Said, I'm playing a character named Tech.
Here's the
He's
going to
have
guy.
Glasses.
Gonna
You're right.
Computers.
Right. You see what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Oh, man, I know. I completely agree.
They're all pretty on the nose.
It's the A-team, bro.
And they
spiced it up by bringing in, you know, Echo.
Yeah.
Right? Who is part droid, but not the tech whiz, right? That was a smart move because you could very easily condense the two into one.
I got to be honest with you, though. Like, after the Bad Batch arc in Clone Wars, in the last season of Clone Wars, where we're introduced to this concept of Echo still being alive and he's like more machine than man and they get him out and he joins the Bad Batch, right?
Yeah.
I would have thought he would be way more of a focus in the show, but he's really not. They haven't done a ton with Echo so far, I feel like.
No, and I agree, but they haven't spotlighted him yet, if they're going to, but he is an included, loved and valued member of the team.
Oh, no doubt. I'm not.
And that's what I like. You know, I like
even
that if you're
too.
Not going to spotlight him, at least he fits. He belongs. They like him. They miss him, you know.
And I'm not even necessarily complaining because I like the other members of the Bad Batch so much that it's not that big of a deal to me. But when you think about how long the character of Echo has been around since so early on in the Clone Wars, and then he, you know, has the fake out death moment, reappears in the arc in the last season of the Clone Wars, which was essentially like a pilot for the Bad Batch series.
Right.
I just figured they would have done a little more with him, and I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
Maybe it's still coming. We got 5 episodes.
That's true.
It's entirely possible it's still coming.
That is true. So I think
because we haven't met up with. Did he die in that episode? Was it Fives?
Yeah, I think Fives is dead.
Because Fives was the one that discovered the chip, right? And told Rex.
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, we got one more thing before we move on and hear from our buddies. We're getting a Disney Gallery The Mandalorian special next month.
Oh my goodness.
So you know we got the full.
My dad sent me a text message and was like, The Mandalorian got a bunch of Emmy nominations.
Yeah, it did like 24
Emmy nominations?
Yes, 24 Emmy nominations. Fucking, I just gave Eric Struthers fucking ammo for the next 3 episodes of The Bad Motivators. Fuck.
Eric Struthers.
Yes, 24 Emmy nominations, which is incredible. And like I said, they announced, cause you know, we got that whole season of Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian after the first season. And then for season two, we got like one longer special. And that one special, remember, we even mentioned it, did not go into the appearance of Luke in the last episode. Well, on August 25th, we're getting a whole episode devoted to just that, to the return of Luke Skywalker
in
Mandalorian Season 2. So I cannot wait to see that. That is very exciting sounding to me.
It is.
So, yeah. Lots of good stuff coming up the rest of this year as far as Star Wars is concerned.
Yeah.
Pretty excited. Pretty stoked on Star Wars. So do you want to hear from our buddies? Do you want to take some voicemails and some emails?
I would love to.
All right, let's jump into that. Kia D! Kia D! Kia D! Cockhead! The only Jedi master who can crash box Kia D! Cockhead! Running around slaying bitches with his cockhead! He's a big Saurian stud. He loves to split chicks with his bud. Kia D! Cockhead! So stroke his cone and suck on his balls. Kia D! Cockhead! What you gonna do when he comes on you now? He's a Jedi Council stooge. But he'll be pumping spooge tomorrow! Cockhead! Lou Herbert! Cockhead! Harsberger! Cockhead! Will Witten! Cockhead! Goose Payne! Cockhead! G-Money! Cockhead! King Tom! Cockhead! Joe! Cockhead! Key and D! Cockhead! Cockhead! Alrighty, hey, if you're listening to this show and you're thinking, how can I send in a voice message or an email? It's super easy. You just email it to blueharvestpodcast@gmail.com. First up, we got our buddy King Tom. Let's hear from him.
Hey there, Hoss and Will. As usual, I'm coming to you outside. I don't know if you can hear it, though. Here, let me put the phone nice and clear, nice and near. I'm over the grill, waiting on some corn, some asparagus, and some pork loin to finish up. I had a question for you guys. I heard Hawes on Sal's podcast where you guys talked about the excellent High Republic comics. I'm really enjoying those series, and both of them. And it's pretty impressive because they had something going on in the High Republic comic series line up with the new novel that was just published a few weeks ago by Kevin Scott. And it was pretty much like the same week, it lined up perfectly. And I got to admit, I was really impressed. And obviously, you know, your appearance on Sal's podcast was great too. But, you know, it got me thinking about how coordination is awesome right now. Yes, I know every now and then there are some things that that get messed up or misconstrued between TV and movies and publishing. But I think they're really doing a good job of keeping things in line. Even the War of the Bounty Hunter series, it's, you know, different comics, but they're still coordinating things. And that's, you know, one reason why I think now is better than the EU. But you know, every now and then, you know, I look back on the EU fondly because it was a big part of my Star Wars world for a very long time. And there are people and concepts / characters I wish were still around. So I wanted to ask you guys, because I don't think I or anyone else have asked for this in a while. And if they have, I apologize for not listening. But could you name a creator who worked in the EU and a character concept, place, whatever, from the EU that you would like brought back into main canon? So two things, a creator who worked on it and something from the EU you would like brought back. I have one of each. The thing I would like brought back is the corporate sector authority. This featured heavily in the original Han Solo trilogy novels by Brian Daley. It was like a part of the galaxy run by corporations. And they used it because it was very early EU. They didn't want to get into the Empire, and it was a nice stand-in. And they did some clever things with it. It's been mentioned a few times in the new canon, but I'd like to actually go there. Although I think Cantonica, home of Canto Bite, is technically in the corporate sector. As far as creators, it took me a while to think of this, but once I thought of it, it's crystal clear. Chris Claremont. He wrote some stories for the original Marvel Star Wars run. I'd like to see what he could do with Star Wars these days. Anyway, those are my two answers. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk with you later.
Ooh, this is a good question. What do you got, Will? What's some stuff from old EU that you wouldn't mind seeing come back?
Now, I have to be honest. I was not deep in the EU.
Mm-hmm.
But of what I know, and I know a decent bit, I liked the Mara Jade character. Not necessarily that you have to keep her name or that her and Luke had kids, but the fact that Luke fell in love with a girl that was basically like a dark side assassin that was trying to kill him. Right? Like, I don't know, something about that twist I like. It's very comic booky, but like, she was sent to kill him, but she realized he was a Jedi Master. And then couldn't. And then she fell in love with him.
Right on.
Because the fact of thinking that, oh, poor old lonely Luke, who never had a lady, like, I don't like that. I don't like lonely Luke. You know,
well,
we
don't know that.
We don't know that, but he wasn't swiping right, you know, to get hoes out to the island.
Yeah, but the man had bigger purpose in mind. He had a lot more shit going on.
He was wallowing in his guilt is what he was doing. But also, I like Shadows of the Empire. Like, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's very 90s, but I think you could redo it to where...
They kind of are. They're kind of redoing it right now in War of the Bounty Hunters. War of the Bounty Hunters is essentially like a... sort of a rebooted Shadows of the Empire, like in a lot of ways. It takes place between, you know, Empire and Jedi. It's dealing with Han and Carbonite and what happens. Like, it's not a straight trip of Boba Fett taking him from Cloud City to Tatooine by any means. Shit goes south.
I like the idea of Chewbacca, like...
with the flat top?
With a flat top and like kind of going little punk angry after his boy gets frozen in carbonite. Like he's wilding out a little bit, like going through a phase. But I like the idea you could rework it as to more Chewbacca story, right? And Dash Rendar is just kind of like this pilot, you know, like while Chewbacca does the shit that needs to be done. I like that idea of like, and he gets this reputation of being this big, bad, like a Rob Liefeld wet dream. But that's not really who Dash Rendar is. Like, he's more like a Justin Long cowardly pilot. That would be cool.
So I would definitely be down to see Dash Rendar make some sort of canon return. Right. I would definitely prefer they rework the character a little bit. You know, I'm definitely not looking for Diet Han Solo again.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't need that.
The tab version of Han Solo.
That's exactly why I was talking about. Yeah. I don't need.
And honestly, if they wanted to bring Dash Rendar back in some capacity, like to me, his story doesn't even have to intersect with the original trilogy or take place in between Empire and Jedi anymore. You know what I mean? Right. Even separate it out from that, and I'd be totally cool with that.
Yeah.
Now, for me, now this is going solely off my feelings towards the EU as a kid. And when I say kid, we're talking junior high, early high school. But for my money, back in the day, the dude I liked the most was Kevin J. Anderson. Kevin J. Anderson did the Jedi Academy trilogy in like 1994, which was all about Luke setting up his Jedi Academy on Yavin. I really liked those books as a kid. But obviously, and I bring this up all the time, the thing that Kevin J. Anderson did that I was obsessed with and still am a little bit to this day was the Tales of the Jedi stuff, the comics, the Dark Horse comics. And if you wanted to bring it, literally, if they just wanted to be like, hey, so we're reissuing Tales of the Jedi and it's canon now, I would be 100% okay.
I didn't even think about the Tales of the Jedi stuff from the EU.
Because
Exar Kun.
Yeah, all that. Ulic Kheldroma, Exar Kun, you know, the backstory of the Sith and how they came about. All of that stuff. And to me, and I know why they don't. They don't because they probably want to, you know, explore something in that area eventually.
Yeah, they may want to fill in those blanks with their own.
Right. And I totally get that. But it's also, if they decided they wanted to make Tales of the Jedi canon, I also, you could do that without any affecting anything that's out now, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's always my go-to, and honestly, it's probably always going to be.
Do you know, it's still my, it's my favorite Star Wars comics.
I would agree. I would 100% agree. It's my favorite Star Wars comics.
You know, thank you to you, I've read a bunch of comics. The Kylo Ren thing was pretty good, you know, but it's so brief.
Yeah, The Rise of Kylo Ren is one of my favorite of the new canon comics, like comics in the new canon. But still, my all-time favorite is Tales of the Jedi, because when I was a kid, it, like, I was reading them as they came out and was so stoked on it. And it was so, you know, those came out between, like, they started coming out in 1994, I think. And I think it wrapped up in like 98. So for those 4 years, before the prequels existed, mind you, this was Star Wars stories set before Star Wars. Way before Star Wars. And that concept just fascinated me. And the fact that there were so many Jedi and Sith and, oh my goodness. I think we, I think I might be setting myself up to reread those this weekend. So that's the EU stuff that I'm always going to lead to and lean to. And
when lightsabers had like a battery pack and a cable.
Yeah. For a little while. Like that's, cool. That's the, what's cool about, the Tales of the Jedi stuff is it kind of like it's set way back in the past. But it also covers quite a period of time.
Yeah.
Like, it covers, I can't remember exactly, but it covers a long time because they start off using the lightsabers that are connected to some sort of battery pack. But as the comic goes on, they progress to, like, more familiar-style lightsaber technology.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. The EU, what I know about, you know, the Solo twins, and you know, Ben Skywalker and all that, when it gets to their kids, it feels less Star Wars, you know, like just for me, and that, that for everybody else that was deep into those books, I'm sure that's heresy, but it felt more like what a Star Wars Saturday morning cartoon show would be about. Mm-hmm. You know, their kids, but there was some dark shit. Like, you couldn't put that on a fucking Saturday morning cartoon. Like, it would have been dark as hell. It would have been on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, you know, it's, I'm not saying that it's, there's nothing to like. I'm absolutely not saying that. But
I will say I prefer the way they told the story of their children in this Star Wars.
Me too.
In the movies.
In the sequel trilogy. Yeah, me too. I'll say this, like, you know, I was way, way into the New Jedi Order when it started. And, like, there was a commercial that they would run for the first book, Vector Prime, that had Mark Hamill narrating the commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm actually going to see if I can find that right now.
That's a gem.
Yeah. And, like, you know, the they're teasing, oh, a major character dies in the first book. So, like, you know, got that off of, or I went and got that at Books a Million or Barnes and Noble, whatever. I think it was Books a Million, the local bookstore in Columbus. And then they wouldn't. So the way the New Jedi Order releases worked is they would do a hardcover book, and before the next hardcover book, there would be paperbacks that came out in between. And the local bookstore did not get the next two paperbacks in the New Jedi Order series in, and I was pissed. So you know what I did? I ordered them. That was my very first Amazon order, where was the first paperback after Vector Prime. I can't even remember.
Oh my goodness.
What it was called.
That's crazy.
So yeah, I was way into it. And then after that, it became harder to keep my interest. And it, at a certain point, it kind of felt like they were like, well, this shit isn't really working, so let's bring back the Sith or something, you know? Anyway, here, listen to this. This is that commercial I was telling you about. Oh, it's playing an ad. God damn it. Here we go.
I had fought the worst of all wars and witnessed the redemption of evil. I have seen balance restored to the Force. But order can turn to chaos, as it did when I was born. Now, with my loved ones and my loyal allies, I face a new challenge unlike any before. And I'm not sure if this time we can win.
Star Wars Vector Prime by R.A. Salvatore, the first novel of the New Jedi Order.
R.A. Salvatore.
Wasn't that fucking badass, though?
Yeah.
Seeing that commercial on, like, the Sci-Fi Channel with Mark Hamill talking about, like, oh, he saw the end of war, and now there's a new threat, and he doesn't know if they can defeat it.
It's epic. It reminds me of, I used to watch, you know, reruns of Sequest on USA, and Sequest was a show about a submarine, and they were
with a talking dolphin. His name was Darwin, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the captain of the thing was the guy from Jaws,
Roy Schneider. Not Rob Schneider.
Not Rob Schneider.
Not Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider snores in Sequest Desmond.
Rob Schneider is a giant douche on Twitter.
He's also a dolphin, talking dolphin. But anyway, we'd watch Sequest DSV, and eventually it gets to the point where Mark Hamill shows up, and Mark Hamill is like an alien, right? But, you know, Mark Hamill is the appearance of the alien in his human form, and he's blind or some shit like that, and I freaked out. You know, I was like, that's Luke Skywalker. Mom, Luke Skywalker is on Sequest. And she was like, that's great.
That's good for you.
Good for you. I'm glad you're so happy. But, you know, this generation, you know, kids today will never know. You know, and it reminds me of watching TV when I was a kid, and your brother or sister would be like, it's on. And you would do the Ninja Warrior over furniture to get back from the bathroom or the fridge or wherever you were to get back to see what was on TV.
Oh, man.
There was no like pausing it.
Dude, I vividly remember, and I was talking to Jesse about this the other day. I would sit on my computer in my room, and on the same little desk as my computer was a small TV / VCR combo, right?
Yeah.
So I'd sit there and I'd play games on my computer late at night while MTV played on that little TV, and I would have a blank VHS in there. So when a video that I liked came on, I could real quick hit record and save the video. And I had tons of VHS tapes just filled with music videos from doing that. Yeah, not something I have to worry about anymore.
No, not anymore.
But at the time, I was dedicated. All right, let's hear from our buddy, Mr. 100, Kobe.
Kobe.
Hey, Oz and Will, it's your boy Kobe, aka Mr. 100, coming at you with another voicemail. I hope you guys are having a great day, week, month, year, everything. And I'm sorry if I ruin it, because I have a little bit of a existential, kind of depressing question.
Oh, no.
Today.
Those are my favorite kind.
And it's kind of Hawes's fault, because I was listening back to the one of the latest episodes. I don't know if it was the latest, but one of the latest episodes of Oh No, It's Hawes Solo on the Blue Harvest. Patreon, which you can subscribe to for as little as $3 a month, with awesome bonus shows. So if you're not doing that, there's my little plug for you. So you're welcome for that. And I was listening back on that, and somebody asked Hawes about aliens, his opinion on aliens, whether or not he'd fight in the alien invasion, you know, because it's coming. So it got me thinking, like, about the depressingly, it got me thinking about the extinction of humanity, right? Somehow, no matter how it comes, if we never reach out to aliens before, you know, we go by the wayside, we will lose everything that we work so hard for, you know, all of our inventions, all of our pop culture, you know, everything. Like, we'll lose all that. Like, we'll lose Star Wars, which is depressing. My question this week is in kind of preparation of that. So say they know the humanity is going by the wayside. They're like, you know what, we're screwed. It's coming at some point. We gotta get a time capsule going, right? And this is going to be a little more advanced than your typical what you think of as a time capsule. This is going to be like basically a floating spaceship, similar to something that they had in Captain Marvel that the Skrulls were hanging out on. It's like a floating spaceship, and it's got all kinds of stuff on it from humanity, all of its porn. Best stuff. And I got a list of things, and I want you to give me something for each thing on the list that you want to put in the time capsule.
Oh, boy.
I'll give you some of mine, too, just to kind of help you out if you... Not that it's that hard of a task, but... first up, just for example, one thing is a movie. And this is besides Star Wars. Star Wars will already be on there. But this is a movie besides Star Wars. For that, I said The Big Lebowski. It's one of my favorite movies besides Star Wars. So maybe and I'm trying not to be completely biased on all these. Some of them I'm doing, like, for the greater good of humanity. You guys can do... your favorites, you can do things that you think speak for humanity, not just you. You can do it however you want. The world is your oyster. A celebrity. This doesn't have to be a recent, you know, celebrity, what you think of like an actor or an actress. It can be an actor or an actress. It can be a president, a famous figure in history. And this could go as far back as you want. Like, it can be, you know... It could be anybody. It could be Jesus if you want it to be. It's basically all it's going to be is like a picture and then a video clip of them. And yes, you can get a video clip of Jesus if you want to. Like, this is not bound to modern technology. This is, you know, this is fictional, so you can do whatever you want. So it'll be a picture and then a little bit of a clip of them. For me, I said Morgan Freeman. And then a band and a song. The song does not have to be by the band. It can be one band, and it'll be a picture, and then maybe like a clip of them singing one of their songs, and then a song, which will be a whole audio of that one song. For that, I was biased on this one. I said Blink-182 because that's my all-time favorite band. And then for song, I said Have You Ever Seen the Rain by Creedence Clearwater Revival, CCR, if you will. I think that's one of the greatest songs ever written. Don't ask me why. I think that's just a song that could speak well for humanity. For TV show, I'm going to steal Hawes's here, and I said Lost. I think Lost is a great way to show another species that ends up finding this time capsule how creative we can be, even though it might not seem like much to them. It's a very creative show, very different, very, So that's that. For food, I said pizza. That's another one that just kind of speaks for the world. Like, everybody loves pizza. For a drink, I said Coke. Another one kind of speaks for all humanity. It's probably one of the most popular beverages of all time. I'm a Pepsi guy myself, but I'm willing to put the Coke in there. And then memorabilia for the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. I didn't do 2020s because obviously it's only 2021 right now, so we haven't been that far into them. So just those five decades. And this has to be like a physical thing, not like something abstract. This is a physical thing. For the 70s, we're putting a whole ass Mustang in there. Show them how dope the cars were back in the 70s. For the 80s, I did kind of a funny one. A Duran Duran foreigner douchebag earring. One of those dumb feather earrings. Shows you how goofy people were in the 80s. 90s, we got the parachute pants, kind of the same thing. Parachute pants, man. Kind of 80s, kind of 90s, kind of a mix, but we'll throw it in the 90s. 2000s, we're going with my boy SpongeBob, a SpongeBob toy of some sort that shows you what the 2000s were all about, if you were a kid my age especially. And then the 2010s, I'm putting in an iPhone, probably like an iPhone 7 or 8, but the only app that's installed is Pokemon Go, and I think you know why. So those are all my picks. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I'll read them off to you one more time just to make sure you got them all.
We got it. I was writing them down, buddy.
Oh, okay.
All right, so.
You want me to do a Michael Scott style? Boom, roasted.
No, I got it written down. So we're putting, like our buddy Kobe said, we're putting together a time capsule. And we got to put some stuff in there. What's your movie?
My movie would be Moulin Rouge.
Okay. Moulin Rouge for Will's movie. I would put... I would put Highlander in there, but I would edit the beginning to have it presented as if it is a documentary.
I see.
So the aliens think that really happened.
Okay.
Celebrity.
Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers.
Okay. I would put Mark Hamill.
Trying to represent humanity.
I would put Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Really like that dude. Like him more every day. Band / song. It can be separate. It can be a band and then a different song. Or it can be the same band and a song by them. Will.
Oh. I'd put the Beatles. And Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd would be the song.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I would put...
The irony of assuming we'll all be dead and this will be all that's left of our civilization.
Right. I would put Tool because I think the aliens would appreciate that.
Okay.
And the song I would do would actually be Time.
By Pink Floyd.
By Pink Floyd.
That's a good one. My favorite.
It's my favorite Pink Floyd song of all time. TV show. I mean, Kobe, once again, nailed it.
Took your Lost.
I'm going to say Lost, but I would also have it presented to the aliens as if it was a documentary. Because we're all dead. Fuck them. Let's fuck around with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have them looking on other planets in the solar system for evidence.
Yeah.
The shit that is not.
And plus, I think Lost would be a nice like representation of humanity in a lot of ways. A lot of different characters
shows,
and a lot of complicated characters. You know what I mean?
The grayscale from bad to good.
What would your show be?
I would do the entire series of Cowboy Bebop. I think it shows mankind's creativeness and what their vision of a potential future could be like.
I gotcha.
It's a snapshot of where we are in time. I feel like it says a lot about our dreams as a species. And it's an accurate reflection on kind of the awfulness of humanity. Again, you know, like we were talking about.
What food would you put on there?
Food? I mean, this is, okay, pragmatically, I mean, I guess you could infinitely preserve food, I guess.
It just has to be an article of food that you... feel like represents
well,
humanity.
I feel like a pack of ramen noodles would probably survive, right? Like,
well, no, no matter what, the technology exists in this time capsule that where the food, you don't have to worry about it perishing. We're not prepping here. We're not preppers. This is full-on sci-fi fantasy. Any food. Now, if you want to do a pack of ramen noodles, that's fine.
But, he said pizza, right?
Right.
All of humanity, and I get to choose one food.
Yeah, this is a tough question for Will.
What legacy, if I had to leave it behind? Maybe a cupcake.
Okay.
See, of my own design.
Nice.
Or a cookie.
Nice.
Like, we could go with some amazing, a hamburger or something like that. But really, like, if I want to represent humanity, most realistically, it would probably be a stew or a soup. That's what's fed us for, you know, eternity.
Or just some bread.
Some bread.
I can't choose between one of these two, so I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to say a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and a family-sized bag of Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh, yeah.
Really, timeless. Really blow some fucking alien minds. For the drink, I'm going Citrus Cooler Gatorade.
Citrus Cooler Gatorade. I'd put coffee.
Okay. Now, memorabilia from the decades of the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. For the 70s, I'm saying the van that's made out of weed in that one Cheech and Chong movie.
Man, I was going to say a nice pre-roll joint with a little filter in the bit.
80s, a Nintendo 80s? Entertainment Center. Or Nintendo Entertainment System, an NES, an original NES. That's good.
DeLorean.
Ooh, fancy. 90s. 90s, I would put a Tamagotchi.
A Tamagotchi. I would put a pair of overalls and a Nirvana t-shirt.
Oh, you know what? I take back the Tamagotchi. I would put a sequenced out Adidas jumpsuit.
Ooh, nice.
2000s. 2000s, I would put one of those Jar Jar lollipops.
Oh, wow.
That was his tongue.
Yeah.
That was like Jar Jar's head, and you opened it up, and yep, his tongue was the lollipop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I want to fuck with these aliens.
You do. You want to bring the heat.
What would you put in there from the 2000s?
A pair of Chucks, some Converses.
Okay. 2010s.
The dude's already put an iPhone in there, and there's no other piece of technology I feel like more accurately could represent us. But
2010s.
Talk about a time when I was working my balls off. I don't know, bro. I don't know much about grindstone, man. About 2010s. What was special back then?
I'm trying to think. 2010. So,
not the aughts, but the tens, the teen, the 20 teens. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cotton mask and a bottle of sanitizer. I don't know.
Well, that's the 2020s.
I know, but what happened in between that and Converses, I don't know. Between that and the iPhone.
Well, buddy, Converses you could have put as from the 70s too.
Oh, I know for the 50s, you know, like I could have. But like they had a revival. I just remember them being part of the youth uniform as I graduated high school.
I would put a bottle of Pepsi Max.
Pepsi Max.
I feel that like that's when that came out, Pepsi Max. Mm. Or a Orange Monster Chaos. I feel like those came and went in the 2010s. I don't think you can get those anymore.
A copy of Halo.
There you go. That was more the 2000s.
That's Halo 4 or 5 probably at that time.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you do, right? You put a copy of Halo in there, and you write on the disc, "You're next."
Oh, no.
So it's like a threat to the aliens.
Beware the flood.
All right. Let's hear what Jim has to say. Our buddy Jim. Here we go.
What up, Halls and Will? I had one question mainly. If Baby Grogu wasn't a Baby Yoda, what would be your number two alien baby for Mando to be carrying around all over the galaxy? Just want to know that. And Will, I wanted to know, how do you cook a thin, like a steak, you know, not 2 inches thick, just a regular steak? I've tried it a bunch of different ways. It always ends up chewy for me. And in a pan, not a grill, is what I'm mainly asking. All right, Halls and Will. I appreciate it. Ignite the green.
Ooh, nice cooking question for Will. What you got for him, buddy?
If you want a thin steak, but you want it tender, you're probably going to have to go with like a tenderizing agent somehow. You can use a lot of different things. A really good one is pineapple juice. Pineapple juice has enzymes in it that break down proteins. Pineapple juice basically eats you as you eat it. So it will do the same thing to meat as a tenderizer. You can mix pineapple juice with some soy sauce. And that's a really great meat marinade. 24 hours or less will give you what you need. Some people go more, but it just tenderizes to mush. Now, when you're cooking it, you want to make sure you get all the marinade off, maybe pad dry with a paper towel. Because if you leave any extra moisture on the outside of the steak, what you're really doing is steaming it instead of cooking it however other means you intend to, because the heat's going to have to remove the moisture on the outside of the steak before it actually starts cooking the steak. So you want to make sure you have a dry steak when you put it on there. Make sure it's room temperature, because that'll affect its cooking. And then you can just sear it on both sides in a skillet and be done with it. If it's as thin as you say, a cast iron skillet works best for that kind of thing. But if you sometimes when you cook thin steaks in a pan, they'll be tough no matter what. If you want to try using the broiler, which is just the part of your oven where it turns the element on as high as it'll go, and you have to watch because it'll scorch anything. It's great for melting cheese or putting a nice brown on certain things. But the broiler may be able to do what you're looking for, and you just have to watch it. And as soon as it's done, as soon as it's picked up just a little color, and you can even pull it, check it, touch it before you put it back, and you should be able to – it should be juicy and tender. And then you just let it sit for a second, and it should – reabsorb some of the juices that it tried to bleed as it sits. And then once you slice it up, it should still be thin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, that was a long-winded explanation.
You kind of nailed the two things I would have suggested, which is room temperature before you cook it and let it rest.
Yeah. And another way, if you got really thin steaks, another easy thing to do is just cut them into strips, kind of make stir fry. With whatever sauce you have, and they'll still be pretty juicy, and also the sauce will help. But tenderizing ahead of time, marinating in something that's going to tenderize helps with juiciness when you're cooking, tenderness, softness, not overcooked. Juicy.
So, brain fart. If Baby Yoda wasn't a Baby Yoda, if Grogu wasn't a Baby Yoda, my number one go-to is going to be Wookiee, because I want to see what a baby Wookiee looks like.
That I can't believe I didn't think Wookiee.
Because it would be cute as hell.
But I don't know why I'm so attached to the frog people, but baby frog people would be my go-to.
Right on. Yeah. Wookiee, there's a lot of them that I think would be kind of cool. Wookiee, I would think a baby Gungan would be interesting to see. I could see that being pretty cute and appealing.
Lot of ears.
I'm
trying to think of cute baby things, but baby Gungan and baby Wookiee are like the two that come to mind. Everything else baby seems like it would be scary.
I don't know. Like, I bet you a baby Mon Calamari is pretty cute. I bet you.
Maybe.
Or a baby Celestin. Fucking a baby Nian Num.
Baby Nian Num, yeah.
That could be a disaster. Yeah, I'm going with any of those I think would have been kind of cool. I mean, I think, obviously they went with a baby of Yoda species because that's how you bring the Force into the show,
And it is seemingly powerful within that race.
Yeah.
Species.
Yeah.
Baby Trandoshan would be cool. That'd be metal as hell.
Yeah, it would look like look like one of those spitting dinosaurs.
Yeah.
In Jurassic Park. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore, man. The Spitosaur, isn't that what they were called?
I think affectionately called the Spitter.
I think they're called a Skeetosaurus Rex.
Yeetosaurus
Rex. Skeetosaurus Rex.
Genus Yetosaurus.
Well, actually, you know what? Rex probably wouldn't be used because they're smaller. So it's like, you know, just Skeetosaurus. All right. Next up, we have one email, and this is from our buddy Steve. Hey, guys. I've had Empire Strikes Back on in the background a lot lately, and have really noticed how much Chewie and R2 talk without us knowing word for word what they're saying. We always assume based on the context of the reaction of who was in the scene with them. So my question is, if you could have subtitles for one line or each scene of each character through the whole saga, what would it be? For me, I want to know what R2 says after Leia kisses Luke and what Chewie is saying when he finds the dead animal on Endor that gets them trapped. Thanks for the great show each week, Steve. Ooh.
What do you think he says after? What do you think R2 says after Leia kisses Luke?
I think he says, "Oh shit, I should have said something before now." Or he says the droid equivalent of "Daddy likey."
I just feel like he goes, "Oh God, don't. Please don't." I know you don't know why, but just don't. If you only knew. If these gears could talk.
So I'm trying to think of
he can communicate with Luke. You would think he would have said something.
He keeps a secret. That's somebody you can tell a secret to is R2-D2.
R2-D2. Confidant extraordinaire.
You can tell him a motherfucking secret. What scene in any of the movies would you like to know something? What Chewie says and what R2 says.
When C-3PO is being a bitch in the beginning of A New Hope, and they're arguing, and he's like, "I don't like you." And C-3PO is like, "Really?" And when he's talking about Luke, he's like, "I bet he doesn't like you." And he's like, "No, I don't like you either." And he's like, "Aw," like, I don't know what he says after that, but it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That little sound is like, "Aw, you're being mean as shit, C-3PO."
That would be a good one. I would want
Or when he gets shot and he goes, "Wah!"
Oh, I think he's just going, "Fuck!"
I know, yeah, but it would be funny to see what he actually said.
So, okay, in Empire, when they crash on Dagobah and R2 is in the swamp and all you see is his little telescoping sensor. And he's like, he's talking as he's going through the water. I want to know what he's saying there. Because it sounds like he's being sort of like, I don't know what the term I'm looking for is, but like, Luke's like, "Be careful." And he's like just chirping away. It sounds like he's doing a little tune. And then he gets swallowed by the monster and spit out. I want to know what he says there. And also when he's, when fucking R2 blows mud, like he just had a bad day at the courthouse. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
On Dagobah. I want to know what he says right there. Like, oh, my bad. I didn't know. I had no warning. I got to go home. Yeah.
That's good.
Those would be. Now, Chewie. What would I like to know what Chewie says?
I want to know what he's saying to Han Solo when he sees him again for the first time in Return of the Jedi after he's come out of the ice.
Yeah, that was what I was going to kind of say.
I'm okay.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Chewie's like, "My buddy.
Yeah.
My buddy. What did they do to you?"
I want to know that. I want to know when they fall into the trash compactor. Because Chewie's talking a lot of shit before and after.
I don't care what you smell. Get out of here.
I want to know that. That's what I want to know from Chewie.
I want to know what he says after Leia says, "Somebody get this walking carpet out of my way."
Yeah. Not very nice.
I can understand you, bitch.
All right. Yeah, that does it for us this week, buddy. That's all our voicemails and emails. Thanks for recording with me.
Yeah, it was very nice for you to have me. Thank you.
So, guys, if you enjoy video games and want to hear me and our buddy Steve talk about them, check out our new podcast, The High Potion Podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you enjoy our theme song and you want to check out the band that was kind enough to provide the music, check them out, They're Stoned Cobra, and you can find them on iTunes, Spotify, and at stonedcobra.bandcamp.com. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes if you haven't already. It really helps us out, and we appreciate it so much. And we'll see you guys next week. Until then, I'm Halls Burkhart, and this has been Blue Harvest. I'm Halls Burkhart.
And I'm Will Witten. This has been Blue Harvest, and I'm Will Witten.
I fucked up the end right there. May the force be with you. I'm Halls Burkhart, and I've been Blue Harvest.
I'm Will Witten.
I'm Halls Burkhart. May the force be with you.
And all of you.
May the force be with us.